Luke chapter 2, we're going to address this subject tonight of peace on earth. And I'll tell you, right now in 2021, there's been a lot of chaos that has gone on, not only in this nation, but abroad as well. And so you and I need peace. We need to walk in peace. This is not something that we'll just think about for a moment, and then next week, the week after, we'll start handling it all on our own. You know, no, we want the peace of God in our lives. We want His peace here. You know, the phrase "peace on earth." Oh, that's a real nice thing, unless you've got a bunch of pressure coming at you and things in your life that are, you know, stirring the pot, so to speak, and causing you to lose your peace. I mean, you certainly don't want that. I mean, peace on earth is supposed to be here all the time. We should be walking in peace consistently. Amen? Luke chapter 2, look at verse 14. Now, here's when the angel and a multitude of the heavenly hosts were praising God, and this is what they were saying. Look at it, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill extended toward man or mankind or men. Now, it's not saying toward males. It's talking about mankind. Goodwill toward mankind. This was God's expression of His goodwill for mankind. Goodwill toward mankind. I like that. Notice it doesn't say goodwill in men. About men? No. It says goodwill toward men. And that really is a picture or a precursor of what would be required for people to receive this peace, and that is to receive the gift that God gave, okay? And so we've talked about the gift. We've talked about who the gift is. The gift giver is the Father God. The gift is Jesus Christ. That is His goodwill toward mankind. You need to receive it, know Him, and know peace. If you don't know Him, you'll have no peace, no peace, right? Okay, so if the Prince of Peace abides in your heart, then you'll walk in a peace that the world doesn't get. They don't understand. They don't know. They simply will do their best to mock it, but when push comes to shove, they really wish they had what we have. And so don't ever let somebody who's walking in carnality throw you in the respect of how they try to mock your Christianity. You're in good company if people mock you about your Christianity. And so this goodwill toward man is talking about when the Father sent His Son, and this is what the angels were saying, and the shepherds heard this, and my goodness, they said, we need to go to Bethlehem to see this. And praise God they did. So how does this happen, this peace that needs to become real in our lives? How is it going to happen? Well, of course, it begins with accepting Christ into your heart, but, you know, we don't beg the Lord for His peace. We don't squall and cry and bawl and scream and holler and jump around. I need peace. Well, you sure do, and you're not walking in too much of it right now. Remember that Ephesians 1, verse number 3 says that He has blessed us with all blessings in Christ. All these blessings are already been bestowed upon us and are for us. We need to learn how to receive them. Amen. But we have a determined enemy who hates us. He hates Jesus Christ. Just understand that. He hates the Lord. He hates Him with as much hatred as anybody could ever generate. The devil hates Christ. The devil hates the Father God. The devil hates the Holy Spirit. Yes, the devil hates you. The devil is not capable of loving. The devil is the hater. Amen. But you have a determined enemy. And he's coming against the body of Christ. He's trying to keep all this peace from coming to pass in us. He wants us to be disheveled at best. So your flesh doesn't want to hear that you have an enemy to do battle with. Your flesh would like it if it would all just, we just wait on Jesus, and He's going to pour everything down from heaven on us and comfort us somehow, And it's not the way that it occurs, that you actually experience it. Otherwise, everybody that just sits around and does nothing would have total peace. But how many of y'all know if you're not doing anything, you're not acting on any faith that you have acquired? And so you need to be doers of the word and not just hearers. And when it comes to walking in peace, I mean, we said it on Sunday, he's not going to bless people and minister to people that do nothing. So we need to get busy going about and doing the Father's business. Amen. Now, I want to go into the Old Testament. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 7. So go back there, and I want to share a story with you from the Word regarding a man named Ahaz. How many of y'all remember Ahaz? You say, well, I remember the name. Some of these names, wow. Little baby Ahaz. You know, think about these guys as babies, you know. You named this one Shear Jashub? Oh, you look like a Shear Jashub. I don't know. I mean, the names meant something, of course. And so this Old Testament king is facing, Ahaz is facing a serious situation. He has some armies. Enemies that are bent set on his destruction, and they're going to come against him. And he really basically doesn't stand a chance against these two invading armies that he is having to defend himself and the nation from. Let's go to verse number 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, this is Isaiah 7, verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. So here they're coming against him, and they're not prevailing, but they're, of course, very threatening. Verse 2, and it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, talking about Ahaz, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. So literally, they're shaking like leaves in the wind over the threats that they're receiving. So the Lord says to him in verse number 2, the Lord said, then said the Lord unto Isaiah, he's going to send Isaiah there to talk to Ahaz, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah, that's a hard one for me to say. Will you imagine having a kid named that and trying to call him for dinner? Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. I love that. It's not going to stand. It's not going to come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely you shall not be established. So Isaiah, by the Spirit of God, gives a set of instructions to Ahaz. He gives him some instructions. They're outlined in verse number 4 and then again in verse number 9. So he says three things in verse 4 that he tells him that he's to do. These are commands, all right? The first one was take heed. You see it in verse 4. And say unto him, number 1, take heed. Number 2, be quiet. No, that's a big one for folks. Number 3, fear not. Neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, okay? Then down in verse 9, he says at the latter part, 9b, the last half of the verse, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. So what's he telling him? He's telling him you need to believe. I need to grab some water here quick. You need to believe. You need to believe. So it starts off, take heed, be quiet, fear not, and believe. Does that not sound like some things the Lord Jesus Christ said? You know, I mean, I look at that, fear not, only believe. You know, there was a time when he suffered the demons not to speak in Mark chapter 1. Here he's saying by and through the prophet Isaiah for the people to be quiet. Ahaz needs to give that instruction, be quiet. Similar to in the book of Joshua when the children of Israel went to Jericho and they marched around the city. Remember? Don't say a word. And then we've figured out that literally what he was saying was shut up and march, right? And then there were songs written about that. Shut up and march. In other words, quit complaining, quit backbiting, quit murmuring, just march. So he says, take heed, be quiet, fear not. And then verse 9, believe. So let's look at the take heed part first off. Literally, pay attention. Pay attention. So that's why, I mean, what do we need to pay attention to in our lives? If we're going to walk in peace this year and the coming year and in the years ahead, from day to day to day to day to day, we need to heed and take time to pay attention to the Lord. This is not something you can just brush off. Oh, I already know this. Well, are you doing it is the big question. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it. It's another thing to practice it every day like you do when you get up and you, you know, what do you do every day? Well, you shower, okay, or bathe. You put on deodorant. You, of course, clean yourself. You put on clean clothing. You do these things. You take your vitamins, right? I don't take any vitamins. We'll start. It's a good time to start. You take your vitamins, you get in the car and you drive to the office or to your business or down to wherever you happen to be going or whatever you do. Of course, I didn't go into the devotional time, but that's what I'm saying. The devotion, the time spent with the Lord, taking heed and paying attention needs to be before you get into all this other natural stuff. That's why you start your day this way. You don't just poo-poo it off and just go about your day and always have time to have the TV on watching something that's not of God. Oh, I've got to watch Good Day, Good Morning, or whatever it is. Good Day America. What is it called? Don't watch that garbage. They don't like people like you. Do you know that? All you got to do is look at it a little bit. You crazy Trump supporter. Oh, yeah, we are those deplorables. I'll wear the tag. Born again, spirit-filled, deplorable. Yeah. Yes, and I do go to Walmart now and again. I don't always like Walmart, but now and again, you know. So we're to take heed, give attention, pay attention to the word. Give the word your undivided attention. When it says take heed there in verse 4, when it says take heed, that literally means attend to. Guard your time to pay attention to the Lord. Guard your time. Don't let the devil steal your time. Don't let him steal your quiet time with God with something that you forgot you needed to do. Why is it every time you get down to pray and pay attention to the Lord that suddenly you think of that junk drawer that you haven't cleaned out for 10 years, but suddenly it's something you've got to do? You know, I've had people call me, well, the Lord told me I'm supposed to clean out the garage. Yeah, but it's Sunday morning. You should be in church. Yeah, the Lord told me. You know, the stupidity of that. I'm just going to say it. The Lord told you to go against his word? I don't think so. Yeah, he's telling you to clean the garage, but not during church, and certainly not during the time the Lord's trying to tell you something. Ooh, that one hits a little close. Take heed. Just keep your garage relatively clean. It won't take you very long to clean it out. Amen. Well, there you go. Pay attention. And in that whole process is the casting down of the imaginations. And thoughts that exalt themselves. And those can be very, very normal seemingly harmless thoughts. Well, I need to do this. Oh, I forgot I was going to do. And you get up and you go in the back and you do something. And now you've been pulled away from your time with the Lord because of some foolish little something that if you'll say, okay, that may be so. Well, keep a pad and a pencil right there, or, you know, a pen, and write it down. My wife is a wonderful note taker. She just notes. I'll say, Ann, remind me, I need to do this. Man, there'll be a note stuck on the door. And she reaches up and puts them high so I can see it, you know, so it's right there. You know, I can always tell when she wants Austin to do something, it's up there. Austin, don't put them down here. Thank you. So pay attention to the word. Decide that you're going to be a victorious one in Christ. Decide that. Decide. That's part of taking and paying attention and taking heed. Okay? I decide I'm going to do this. This is my life. This is what I'll do every single day. I will pay attention to the Lord first. Stupid devil, you're not going to run my life and you're not going to drag me around by the nose telling me I need to do this, do this, do that. No, you shut your mouth. You're not going to tell me anything to do. I will only listen to the voice of the Master. Thank you. Amen. That's where we need to be. Okay? And then, of course, press in as you do. Pay heed or pay attention or take heed to the word, then press into that word and begin to study it and meditate on it. The second thing he told them to do here was to be quiet. In other words, just very simple, keep your mouth shut. Quiet there meant to be still. Be still. I like that. And in that being still, rest. Who was it? Zechariah? Wasn't it Zechariah in the, Zacharias, I wrote it down. God had to shut his mouth. You realize that? God had to shut his mouth. The Lord, hey, the Lord will check you on what you're saying. When trouble tries to come into your life to steal your peace, one of the things that people do right away is start talking. They start talking, and they start opening the gates. I'll open this gate wide open for the devil to come in. I'll open this gate by all these negative confessions about it always happens to us. We never have enough. Every time we get ready to do something, somebody gets sick or something happens. Something breaks down, the car, the washing machine, whatever it is. And the words start. And why does the Lord want you to be quiet and be careful of the words that you speak? Because words contain a lot of power. And so we need to be very cautious what we're saying over our lives. Amen? Amen? Be quiet. Be quiet. And being quiet in times of trouble is absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. You'll find that example of Zacharias in Luke chapter 1. You're in Isaiah 7. You don't need to go over there, but write it down. Verses 13 through 20 is the account. And verse 18 were, and I wrote this down here, those were the last words that Zechariah spoke for 9 months. Could you imagine that? Losing your voice for 9 months? I mean, the other day, where was I? Where was I when I couldn't talk? You remember? Where were we? No, I don't remember that. We were somewhere at a restaurant, somewhere, and I swallowed something the wrong way, and the person was trying to talk to me. I forget, where was I at? Anyway, I couldn't talk. I was like, she's looking at me like, what's the matter with you? I'm not joking. And I couldn't get it out. I swallowed something that just took my breath away. I forget now what it was, but anyway, it was... It's kind of funny. So after I got my voice back, I said, I'm sorry. I couldn't talk there for a second. That's a terrible feeling. How'd you like to have that for 9 months because you were a bozo and didn't know what to say, and the Lord had to shut your mouth so that he could bring the precursor to Christ into the earth, and you were going to mess it all up with your mouth. John the Baptist announced the coming of the Savior. Amen. He was... the one who was in the spirit of Elijah. Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful study. So the next thing that he said was fear not. Now, of course, we know enough to fear not. At least we are, you know, we understand that we shouldn't walk in fear because fear is the exact opposite of faith and all that. But here he's told not to fear. And literally, this meant in this verse to frighten or to make afraid and for a person to walk in any kind of dread of things to come. Now, see, this is how the enemy works. He likes to get you focused on what could happen, what could occur. You know, the Bible says, the fool says, I'm not going to get up and go outside. There could be a lion in the street, right? That's what could happen. Well, you have to rebuke that kind of stuff. I'm not going to go over here. This could happen. I'm not going to do this. This could happen. Don't say that kind of thing. The Bible identifies you if that's the way you think. So don't use that. Don't let the devil scare you into telling you what you're going to do with your days. Come on, I hear an amen. That is really strong. Because fear has been something that the enemy's been throwing at people ever since that Lucifer fell and, rebelled against God. Fear has been the number one tactic, get people afraid. You remember Job? Job got himself in the situation he got himself in because he was afraid his kids might sin. So every day he made sacrifices for his kids, for it could be that they have sinned or they're going to sin. And he made those in unbelief, and it opened the door for the devil to be able to attack him and ended up killing those kids. Stealing from him, cost him a whole lot with his health, all those boils that came out, and he opened the door to all that right there. The tongue is a small member, but it creates big problems. So be careful and cautious what you are saying. And fear, of course, can be the driving force behind what a person is saying. So be quiet and fear not. So don't be afraid. We know 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, that God doesn't want us paying attention and giving credence to things going on around us that are contrary to the will of God. He's not given us a spirit of fear. So come on, y'all are supermen and superwomen, and that's the way that you need to walk, as supermen, as superwomen. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Aren't you afraid of anything? Hey, I'm tempted to be afraid just like everybody else. Just like everybody else. What are you going to do? Well, see, the devil poses those types of scenarios. What will you do if? I just say, shut your mouth. You're not going to talk to me. You have no conversation with me. I won't hear it in the name of Jesus. So I don't plan to be defeated. I don't plan to open doors for the enemy. Come on. We need to keep the doors shut. Amen? Amen? Amen. And the last thing that he said was to believe. He said, if you will not believe, surely you will not be established in verse number 9. So it was all hinging on Ahaz believing. So take heed. Be quiet. Don't fear. Only believe. Because if you don't believe, you're going to be in trouble. So it's the same way here in America today. You need to believe. You need to believe that the Lord has our back. You cannot for one second think that God put this administration in. Any Christian that comes along and tries to tell me God did that, they don't know the one that we worship. Because he's not doing things like putting people in a position to promote the killing of babies, the marrying of men to men. Oh, but that's racist if you say that kind of thing, Pastor Dan, or you're a hemophobe or whatever phobe they want to call me. Well, they would have called Jesus the same thing. But the fact of the matter is, God's not doing all this junk to this country. Some say, what's the judgment of God? You don't know anything about judgment if that's what you're thinking. Because it's not God's. God has not initiated all this. Can he turn a bad situation around? Absolutely. Is he the cause of this situation? Absolutely not. It would run so contrary to his will for this nation. You don't take a nation and just slam it with a bunch of sinful stuff and promote all this junk and do all the things that this administration has done with tearing down the, you know, letting people come in the country, and they're going to pay a person that comes in the country and give them all this benefits and rights, and they're letting a veteran sleep out on the street. And they're all fussing and arguing about people that come in illegally, that they ought to have all these rights. No. I said it yesterday. We were walking, and I don't have anything against the Mexican people by any means. I don't have anything against any group of people, okay? I'm not a racist man. I'm not. We were walking in Lowe's, and they're giving an announcement in Spanish. I'm like, I looked up, and other people were looking around. I said, I feel like I'm in Mexico or something. What is this going on here? I can't understand what they're saying. Oh, is that so bad? I don't know. I don't know what they were saying. Well, if they were saying there's a fire, you need to get out. I don't know what they're saying. You know, Anne took a year or two of Spanish. She should know. But, I mean, you know, I'm all for opening the door to people that want to come into this nation legally and all that. And I'm fine with that kind of immigration when they do it right. All of us have ancestors that immigrated into America. My forefathers came from Lithuania and came over on a boat. And our name was originally spelled with a J, and the doctor made a mistake and wrote it with a Y. Okay. And because he couldn't, he was like, Jan Kunis. He didn't know, so it sounded like a Y to him. He made it, and people began to, seemed easier to pronounce it because everyone would say Jan Kunis. And my grandfather had it legally changed, or great-grandfather, I forget who. Anyway, so my forefathers, they came in the right way, you know. I just don't get me started on all that. But anyway, we're not going to fear what the enemy is trying to do to this country. I'm going to tell you again, and I'll say it with all of the assurance. I like what the Lord said here in that verse number 7. It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. And I'll tell you right now, this country is not going to become a socialist nation, period. Not. There's no way. Mm-mm. Why? Because the power of God resides on the inside of us. And the Lord has plans for this nation, and that's not one of them. Amen. Come on. If you can't say amen, then you say, oh me. Stand to your feet. Let's go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. Come on up here. Is this on?
For what he's doing. And
here, John, I want you on the mic. Is there a battery in this? John? There you go.
Well, this could be a long story, and I won't do that. But
it's all right. We've got to tell the 31st, John.
Yeah, it's true. Right. Let's ring in the new year. No.
Yeah.
God have mercy. Look, someone's going to throw stuff at me. I'm on a job right now. And it's possible I bit off more than I could chew, but I couldn't tell. It's a corporate job. I'm working at a prison, and I work there all the time, but I took on a contract with a big corporation, and they're bullying me and about wearing me down. And I'm getting inundated with emails. I'm getting threatened with deadlines. It's like they don't want us to make it. They don't want us to succeed. And so I'm, of course, fighting this battle in my mind constantly. And I'm having to press against fear, and I'm having to press against the intimidation. Wake up in the middle of the night at 2:35 with the sweats and the panic and wanting to vomit and everything. It's crazy. I've been under a tremendous attack. So this morning, the Lord gave me like most of these scriptures.
Thank you, Lord.
To the point where I even got to the shop at 5:30 because I couldn't sleep. I said, I just got to go there and think.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, I can't march around the prison because you have to have a guard with you everywhere you go there. So, because this building, I think this building is full of demons, is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And we're up against that stuff. And I know I'm called to minister to these people, and the enemy's trying to just beat me, you know, but he can't. And I'm not even saying that's theory, but when you're in the middle of it,
yeah.
The vice is being tightened and tightened, and I'm spitting out scriptures, you know. But God would do all this for me, to let me know that, and I just wanted to acknowledge God for that. Thank you, too, for obeying the Lord, but I have to acknowledge Jesus for this. This morning, I was trembling, kneeling on a chair, praying in my place where I pray. I didn't have the coffee because I couldn't swallow anything, so I felt like it was going to come back up. Mm. That's the kind of battle I was in this morning.
Yeah.
And the Lord told me when I got the shop, you can't march around the prison, but you can march around your shop, which is where I make all my decisions, right?
Right.
So I got in my truck. I couldn't walk because it was dark. And so I got in my truck, and I just drove around the shops, the block, 7 times. And I know people were probably looking out their window because I saw some people with the news on in their houses. Probably saying, is Favalora drunk or something? I see his truck going around the house, around.
He's looking
around
for something.
But I tried to be quiet, but the Lord had me praising him. But I realized, I know, the 7th time I'm supposed to shout.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know something? So I got to the prison this morning. Shaking, everybody's asking me to know what the answer to this is, that and the other, and this guy starts telling me about how we got this deadline and you got to get this done, and then they're not going to give us the help to get it done. So I said to this guy, I said, listen to me. I said, I'm tired of you guys bullying me around, and I am not going to meet your deadline. So you need to tell your boss if you guys don't help me. I just started getting upset.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he says, what are you talking about the deadline? He said, deadline was moved. There's like another 3 weeks or maybe even a month. What deadline are you going by? I said, I'm going by the one you gave me.
Yeah.
He said, oh, no, that's not the one. Anyway, so, you know, I don't know how that all worked and the driving around my shop, but here's the thing. I woke up this morning, and I was in a place, and I know what I know because I have a document saying what the date was. And then I drive around my shop.
Yeah.
And I get to the job.
And it's changed.
And the deadline's changed.
Yeah.
But that spirit didn't want to let me know it because it's trying to take my peace from me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And
so anyway. But then I come here and you talk about marching around the wall. It has nothing to do with Isaiah 7. You talk about, you know, fear not, only believe. It's what Jesus told that man who found out his daughter died while he was going to heal that lady with the issue of blood.
That's right. That's
nothing
right.
to do with Isaiah 7. So God put all that together.
Right.
And I just want to praise the Lord for it.
Well, stay up here for a second. Just stay up here for a second. God, you get the glory.
Yes,
we thank
sir.
You and praise you for your favor upon John right
Amen.
Now and upon
Amen.
The business. We call that business blessed.
Yes,
and we thank
sir.
You, Lord God, for the favor that he is the one, hallelujah,
yes.
who hears from on high. And Lord, I thank you that you move situations
yes.
on his behalf
Amen.
And change the deadlines as you've done.
Amen.
And Lord God, that this is ends up being a very successful endeavor.
Amen.
All done to even better than they thought it could be done.
Yes, sir.
So we agree, and we give you the glory and the praise for that. And
yes.
I speak peace over you, brother,
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We give you the glory, Lord.
I receive it.
You receive that?
Oh, yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Oh,
come on. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. We do. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God.